This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 63rd State House District includes parts of Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. There will be a new representative in that district next year. Dave Maturin was defeated in the Republican primary as he was seeking his third term. Ronald Hawkins is the Libertarian candidate who is running for state representative in the 63rd District. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Tell the audience about yourself. What should we know about your background?
Well, I've spent 41 years with the Department of Defense. I was in the U.S. Air Force. I'm a veteran. I retired in October 2011, and I've been at home doing the honeydew list, and I sat there and watched the state of politics deteriorate just like our roads, and I was very disappointed. And in, I believe it was December, I decided to join the Libertarian Party. And when you join the Libertarian Party, two things you do is, one, you sign a statement that you believe in non-aggression principles. And the second is they ask you if you're willing to be a candidate for office. And based on a town hall meeting a few years ago, I was very disappointed with our current 3rd District United States Congressman that he didn't defend our 4th Amendment and the Patriot Act was reauthorized. So based on the fact that I had 41 years experience in the federal government, I thought I understood that system fairly well. However, I started late and I didn't get sufficient signatures to get on the ballot. And in retrospect, I'm glad that happened. And Mr. Gelino, our gubernatorial candidate, asked me to consider running for the state representative position because he felt that the Libertarians should field a very strong candidate list this year because we are a major party in 2018 based on the 2016 election. And that's, I considered that, and to be a representative of people, it makes no difference whether it be at a federal or a state level, and I feel I can do that. That's the reason I'm in the race.
Yeah, specifically if you were elected to the state house, what would you want to do when you get there?
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is work on getting the roads repaired. Our roads are horrible in Calhoun County. The second thing I think that we need to do in this state is when you turn 80 years old, the state doesn't need to charge you income tax. That just needs to be eliminated completely. If you make over $500,000, yeah, maybe you should pay some taxes, but I don't think you'll find many people that's 80 years old that's going to fit that description. The third thing is there is an initiative that Mr. Gelino has is reduce the cap. The Hadley Amendment caps the amount of money that the state can tax. We're below that now, so reduce the cap so we don't continue to increase taxes. And there's a trigger if there's an emergency. You can do a increase the revenues for that emergency, so it's not like we're just freezing everything out. So that, to me, was a very sensible thing to do.
Let's go to fixing the roads, because actually your website has that right in its web address. It's in your email address, Fix the Roads. What's the specific plan that actually does that?
Well, I look at it, Public Act 51 is 1 year younger than myself, so it's been modified to the point that I believe the only people that understand it are the bureaucrats and the special interest groups. So,
and not to give away your age, but Public Act 51, I think, was enacted in 1951.
Okay. I was born in 1950, so as old as I am, that's just 1 year younger. And I think the lobbyists and the bureaucrats, they have a lock on that. It needs to just be eliminated. I truly believe there's a lot of laws that we just need to rescind. We're overregulated, and that's start over with a clean slate. I think there should be a basic funding provided to the counties based on a per mile formula. You know, redo it. Then you have state highways and federal highways, and there's some things you need to modify there. But overall, I think the counties need to manage their money.
Your basic argument is that Public Act 51 is not distributing this money equitably?
No, it's not at this point.
Explain a little bit more about the idea of dropping the cap.
Dropping the cap means that right now, our taxing is around a little over 8%. The cap is at I believe it was 9.1 or thereabouts.
And this is property taxes or a combination of state income tax, property taxes, sales tax?
I believe so. I'm not the greatest expert on that, and I would tell
I guess 8% sounds like a combination of state income and sales tax. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's very detailed on Mr. Gelinow's site, which is www.cometogethermichigan.org. And he details that in detail far more than I can speak to. It's one of those things. It's his issue, and I support it.
But as you say, we are currently taxing below the cap.
Right. And that precludes the coming in and continuing to raise taxes above that.
Right. So, but if we are below the cap, doesn't that indicate that political pressure is working, that lawmakers are not going up as high as they could in terms of what they're taxing the people of Michigan?
At times. But I think if you remember, we were promised our income tax would be reduced, and at this point it's not. So I just feel that there's more than adequate revenue flow coming in. One of the things that Bill speaks to is pure Michigan, and he calls that pure BS, and we could take that money and better distribute it. The other thing that I think is wrong is the fact that they take the campaign finance money and give just the Republican Democrat over $1.2 million into the governor's campaigns. Why do we do that? I mean, with the Supreme Court ruling, there's plenty of money out there. They don't need to keep taking the taxpayers' money at this point. And I've found that there's a lot of money in politics. It's not a cheap thing to do.
Well, it's not a cheap thing to do, but is that an argument, actually, that maybe we should extend public financing in some way, allow maybe the Libertarians, who, as you say, now do qualify for the ballot in the August primary, where they have not before because of how well Gary Johnson did in 2016. If it's an expensive thing to get into, might more public financing allow candidates who are coming in from the outside to get their message out better?
It would, but at what point do you stop taxing people for that? That's one of the libertarian principles is small government, efficient government. And I just, public financing sounds good in theory, but I don't know that it's, I kind of just disagree with it.
You don't think there should be any public financing of any political campaigns at all?
I don't believe so. If you're willing to get out there and put yourself out there, you should be able to do it. But that's my personal opinion.
Well, that's what we're talking about here today.
Yeah.
Auto insurance rates, very high in Michigan. What would you want to do to try to get them reduced?
I think we need to do away with no fault completely. That's, go back to the tort system. And I understand that people are concerned about that, but it's just, if you have children, it's almost impossible to insure the cars. I just have three cars and just paid my insurance. It's $1,200, and that's ridiculous for 6 months. My son lives in Indiana, and he gets a year of insurance for around $200. So it's the rates here are just, you can't afford that.
But in Indiana, if you're injured in a catastrophic accident, there will not be lifetime benefits for somebody who is unable to work and is seriously injured. Is that, I guess, just the price we're paying here in Michigan, and is that a trade-off you'd be willing to make?
I believe that that's where the insurance companies are involved with lawsuits, and here in Michigan they avoid it. If we're not going to do away with the no-fault, if it's something that everybody agrees that we need in Michigan, based on what your question there, then there needs to be open transparency. Where's the funds? Who's getting it? And what rates are the hospitals and the doctors charging? That's the other side of the issue. For myself, I kind of experienced that in Indiana when my father had his neck broken in a car accident. The insurance company and the lobbyists there, way back when, had what they called a guest passenger law. He was riding with one of his good friends, and they hit a bridge and flipped the car. My father got his neck broken the medical was limited to $2,000. Well, that was back in 1973, so $2,000 today would probably be about $15,000 or $20,000.
And that which was, would go quick over somebody with a broken neck.
Yeah, broken neck, and it was ate up. So there, as a result, he had to sue his best friend, and it happened to be Farm Bureau Insurance, and they drug that out with the lawyers until the point my father passed away from other issue, another medical problem. So that's the other side, that that you could say no fault has benefits. But unless you have a good system that monitors everything and it's open where people can actually see it, we have what we have today. We have out rates that are just ridiculously high. So if we don't rescind it, we need to make it work much better.
Yeah, is there something in between those two scenarios that you've just mentioned there? Either, you know, very high auto insurance rates that we have in Michigan, or, you know, having things that happened to your father happen to lots of other people where, you know, the lawsuit goes on forever until basically they pass away.
Yeah, then you should be allowed the option. Do you want to no fault or you don't want to no fault? And then that falls into who's appointed in the insurance commission to watch the rates and control that.
You, at the very least, you want to see how much money is in that catastrophic claims fund.
Right.
And figure out
much,
if we...
Much like the Federal Reserve. We don't know what we got. And let's face it, the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's private bankers, and we don't know what they're doing.
Let's go back to something else you mentioned there, the idea of eliminating the income tax on people who are 80 years or older. Mm-hmm. You did mention that there might be something in there if somebody is quite wealthy. So would you be talking about maybe the first X number of dollars somebody earns would be exempt from state taxes, and then beyond that, they pay something?
If you make over $500,000, you should be paying some tax. But less than that, you're going to get 99% of the elderly that's going to fall in that category. There's not that many people that's over that. And when I was out and about, I ran into one couple. They were in their 80s, and they're very concerned because younger people don't realize inflation actually will eat up their income. They're on fixed incomes. They're not getting increases. And when the school millage and everything else keeps going up and up and up, because voters voted in, because they want new schools and they want better things, that hurts those people. They can't even, at some point, they can't afford to stay in their own home. So we need to look at that. We need to take care of the elderly much better than we do.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum, kids. What would be education policies that you would want to pursue if you're elected to the state house?
My personal opinion, when I went to school, the schools were local. We weren't driven by the federal government at that point. I think that the state needs to allow the school districts to function at the local level and keep the policies local, not dictate at a state level and a federal level as much as we do. It's one of those things. I think the Department of Education should probably be dissolved. It was something that was created by Jimmy Carter, and I don't know that the education's improved. I talk to kids, and sometimes I'm concerned they're not learning what I learned in school. An example, I was sitting talking Tuesday evening to a couple of people in their 30s, and I was talking about John Kennedy. And it was pretty much going right over their head because they hadn't learned that much in school about the history of that era.
Does the state, though, need to set some sort of standards in order to ensure that, you know, the state's going to be economically competitive, that you're going to have students who graduate and either can go on to college and are college ready or are able to move into careers, perhaps get technical training? I mean, does the state have some responsibility?
They have some responsibility. And I think one of the things that we fail to do is have good industrial arts programs. When I went to high school, the last 2 years of my school, I was in a agricultural industrial arts program. I wanted, personally, I liked mechanics. and that would have made me happy. Unfortunately, a little thing came along like called Vietnam and kind of changed my life pattern. So I do believe that we could much improve the lives of the children here in Michigan if we can give them some industrial arts versus just saying they need to go to college. Because the college isn't for everyone, and let's face it, college has gotten very, very expensive. My grandfather had a college fund which would pay $2,000 a year. Well, by the time I was old enough to draw from that, it would have paid for maybe 1 year at best. And that's the problem we face, the escalating cost of education here, too.
There have been PFASs, these chemicals found in many places around Michigan, including Richland Township, which falls within the 63rd District.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the State House, what sort of policies do you think you would want to pursue? What sort of questions would you be asking the Department of Environmental Quality to address things like clean drinking water?
What are they doing to mitigate? That's, you know, what have they done to testing? What are they doing to mitigate the circumstances? One of the things I've found is bureaucracies tend to build themselves, and bureaucracies don't build to be efficient. So one of the things that gets out of hand is they don't pay attention to the little things they need to. And I really, what are they doing? And what's the EPA standards? Are they even close to being that? So drinking water is an issue that's going to become more and more important to people. Whether you have well water, you have public system. And again, it goes back to what's your local government doing? What are they doing to pay attention? What are you as a citizen watching your local government do? Now, you need to have some involvement from this at the local level of the citizens. They need to hold their elected officials responsible.
You mentioned the bureaucracy, particularly related to the state. Is that part of the job of a state representative, is to watch over a bureaucracy and hold them accountable?
I believe it is. I believe it is. It goes to another issue that concerns me, is the probate courts and how they treat the elderly. The judicials, you have the three branches, and judicial's separate, but the legislature and the governor have oversight responsibilities, and if they have judges that are performing badly, if you don't impeach them, you can still remove them, and that's something that needs to be looked at very carefully.
Explain what the issue is with the probate court.
What I've found, and I don't think this is an issue that has much awareness in this nation, the elderly get trapped in a probate system. I just went to Ann Arbor last week and sat through a court hearing. One lady was 90, she's 92. She had an aneurysm. She's recovered. But the court appointed not only a guardian, a lawyer, and a conservator, they basically have control of her life. She's recovered. She's probably more articulate than I am at 92. And she had written a judge. She doesn't want the lawyer anymore that she has. She went through the list of everything that the conservator had done to expend money. The judge basically ignored everything she said. They had sold, she had two homes. One was a rental home for income. They sold that home to pay bills because property tax in Ann Arbor for 1 year for her home was $8,000. Well, they paid that, and the judge went through and authorized all the payments, and then she switched conservators on her because of some issues. And the lady just was basically ignored. And the same thing happened to another gentleman. They had moved him into a nursing home. He wanted to go back to his apartment, and the judge did the same thing. But what I really found interesting was the conservator was appointed was putting in a proposal to sell the home that the lady lived in. Well, the judge called them all up to the bench to have a little discussion, but then she flipped a switch, and we heard white noise for about 10 minutes and the gallery couldn't hear a word of discussion. Then it was turned off, and the conservator withdrawn her motion to sell the home. That goes on nationwide. It is very, very difficult. Plus, she has three siblings. The one son that she trusts is limited to 4 hours a week, and that can be cut off at any time. So I just tell folks, if you're getting older, get aware of this issue, because it's not good here in Michigan, and it's very bad in Florida.
Governor Snyder recently announced a deal with Enbridge for a tunnel and a new Line 5 under the Straits of Mackinac. Is that the best solution?
You know, if they're going to build a new tunnel or a new
pipeline,
yeah. If it's one that will withstand everything, yeah, that probably is a better solution than living with the old one.
Proposal 1 on the November ballot would legalize marijuana for recreational purposes in Michigan. Are you in favor of it?
Yes.
Why?
Well, it's worked wherever else they've approved it, and that's one of the things that the Libertarian Party stood for years.
Proposal 2 would change redistricting. Is that a good idea?
It's not the best idea the way it's written, but it's better than what we've got. So, again, we support that.
Do you think that there is a possibility that if districts were drawn somewhat differently, libertarians would have more of an avenue to get people elected at that level, state house and senate?
I think that it would be a much fairer system. Not only the libertarians, the Greens, any other minor party. And one of my issues with the way it's written now, it's still, even with the proposal, it's locked into where the Republicans and Democrats are going to control the system. To me, they should go back 10 years and have a representative of every party that's been on the ballot. That would make it much fairer, and it would actually open up the government to where you'd have some different ideas. Right now, it's like a bouncing ball. It goes from one side to the other, back and forth. I tell folks, my father and his father and mother were Democrats. My mother and her mother and father were Republicans. He was a principal. He was a school teacher. He taught shop. My other grandfather was a tenant farmer. He didn't own the farm, but he farmed. My father is the same way. We were tenant farmers. I don't think my parents who are passed away or my grandparents who are gone would recognize either of these parties at this point. I tell folks, if you'll look at the principles of the Libertarian Party, you'll find we're the most centered party out there, and that's why we're growing. We have over 800 candidates nationwide this year running. And I believe Mr. Johnson has a fair shot at becoming the first Libertarian senator in the United States Senate.
Proposal 3, the Voting Access Initiative. Do you support that?
Yes.
I want to go back to something you said at the beginning. You said that you found that your third district representative in Congress wasn't strong enough on the Fourth Amendment, and said the Patriot Act was reauthorized. Justin Amash has been pretty critical of the Patriot Act.
Yeah, he
and
is,
government surveillance in the
but
past.
I go back to the town hall where I asked him that question, why don't you just rescind it in its entirety? And he did the typical political thing to give me a 2-minute go in circles and not answer the question. I just have a problem with people that won't answer a question directly. That may be a fault of mine, because if I tell you what I think, you probably may or may not disagree, but you'll know what I think. And I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a common working person. I started at 11 years old, handed a machete to go out and cut corn stalks out of a bean field. And like I tell folks, my parents did that today, Child Protective Services and who else would show up and they'd be gone. You know, we don't teach children the value of work. And I think that's part of the problem we have today with some of the youth. They don't know that free's not free, folks. And you need to learn that. That's a life lesson that should stay with you. It's not a good thing just to think that the government's going to hand you everything, because the government doesn't create any wealth. The government takes wealth and redistributes it. And that's another reason I'm a libertarian. I think the government should be minimal. People have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
President Trump is, at the very least, in the background of this election, maybe more than that. There has been polling which has shown that a lot of Republicans, over 90%, say they approve of the job President Trump is doing. And there's probably about an equal number of Democrats who don't approve of the job that President Trump is doing. When you look at President Trump through libertarian eyes, what do you see?
Good and bad.
What's the good?
The good is he told us what he was going to do, and he's actually doing what he said he would do. That's for me. Unlike most of these presidential candidates, they go on the trail. They tell you we're going to do this, that, and the other. Keep your plan, keep your doctor. Well, that didn't work out. So you got what you were told you were going to get, and I think at least that's somewhat honest. My issue is with the president himself. He comes across as not presidential. I wish that the man would consider the president I grew up with was John Kennedy. At least he would act presidential and come on TV and tell us why, what, and try to rally the nation's support. That's not happening today, and we need to go back to that. We need someone that will actually lead us rather than just kind of whip us around back and forth. It's great that the Republicans like the president. It's sad that the Democrats hate him to the point they're doing what they're doing, but there needs to be balance, and people, it goes back to my point. I listen to all these politicians' ads. We're going to go fight. We're going to go fight. We're going to go fight. I'm not going to Lansing to fight. I'm going to Lansing to work, because the only way you accomplish anything is to work at it. Fighting, that's a waste of energy. Work to accomplish something useful. So I don't know that we're there that. And like you said, when I went out to get signatures, that's one of those damned if you do and damned if you don't questions. What do you think about the president? Well, either you're going to be mad at him or you're going to be happy with him, and whatever I say about him, you're going to be mad at me or you're going to be happy with me. And there's things about him that are okay, what his policies are. There's other things that's not. Do we need a wall? What we need is controlled borders. I don't know that we need a big wall. What we need is immigration reform. When I grew up, we had migrant workers that came and worked. We don't have a system where they can actually get a worker's permit and come here and work. We've got people that's hiding in the shadows. I was shocked when I went up to Grand Rapids of all the people that's there that's hiding in the shadows. One lady was... I knocked on her door, and she said, I don't know English. No, I smiled at her, and I said, yeah, you speak English. You're doing what my wife does. So, and then she smiled, because she and I understood, but that's not right. We shouldn't have people scared that they're going to get drug offs in the middle of the night, but they shouldn't be. My position, if you're here illegally, please go home. And then to the Congress, fix the system. Have it where people that want to come here and work can come here and work. We don't have that now. And I don't believe we should, just because they're wealthy, they get the free pass to get a green card to come here. That's not right either.
So I want to go back to what you said there about not wanting to go to Lansing to fight, but to work and to get something done. Most people would probably say if you're going to get something done as a libertarian in the state house, because there probably won't be too many of you.
No.
That will require some sort of compromise with Republicans and or Democrats, probably both.
Yeah.
So where does someone with very strong feelings about limited government find room to compromise in order to, as you say, actually get something done?
Well, I'll give you an example. Mr. Jalino proposed a change to welfare. That doesn't sound, what he proposed doesn't sound like a libertarian idea, because he proposes taking about 5,000 young ladies when they're 15 or 16 and putting in a program where if they promise not to become pregnant, each year that they do that, they'll get a certain amount of money. So if you look at it, he's basically going to provide them where they can get an education and get out of that poverty cycle and welfare cycle. So is that a libertarian idea or a smart idea to break that poverty cycle and at the end of the day reduce the welfare system and get people to a better state in life? And that's kind of the way I look at it. There's certain things that you can compromise on, but you have to keep your core principles.
Ronald Hawkins is the Libertarian candidate for State House in the 63rd District. That includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.